It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's on X at Trevor_Lane. Trevor, how's it going, man?
Doing well. A lot of subplots going on in the playoffs right now. Excited to chat with you.
Yeah, and I told you off air, there's an elephant in the room. It's the last thing we saw on Sunday, but the Suns get swept out of the playoffs after what they did this offseason, adding Bradley Beal. We got Kevin Durant, Devin Booker all on the same team. They obviously didn't have depth. They never got a point guard. But to get swept out of the playoffs by a Timberwolves team that doesn't seemingly have a whole lot of cracks at this playoff basketball thing, that was something I didn't quite expect. But they have some real issues they're going to have to address this offseason.
Yeah, absolutely. I was not predicting the Suns. I predicted the Suns were going to win the series, and they get swept on out of the thing. They look great against the Wolves during the regular season, and that obviously did not translate into the postseason. And now the future is looking mighty bleak for Phoenix. They've got some tough decisions they have to make. They're really locked into this roster. They're above the second-tier apron,
right,
with just 7 players under contract. That is absolutely insane. And you're right, they don't have a point guard. They don't really have a power forward on this roster aside from David Roddy. They've got a lot of stuff to try to figure out, and it may mean some very difficult decisions that are going to need to come here in the next few days.
All right, now I guess I'll start here. You have familiarity with him because you did coach the Lakers not too long ago, and he coached them to an NBA championship, but then he ultimately got fired. Frank Vogel, what's going to happen with him? I was reading a story by Shams. Doesn't sound like that roster really respects him, I guess is the best way to put it. It sounds like that, you know, there's some issues there behind the scenes, including where he tried to raise his voice at his team after an April 8th loss, I think they had, to the Clippers, and they were just about laughing at him. I mean, I what's the future hold for him?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that is coming out now, that we're, you know, here we are less than 24 hours from them ending their season, and this is the kind of story that's coming out, in addition to little bits about Kevin Durant not being happy with the offense, with Frank Vogel's offense, which is something that we heard during the Lakers days, too, that, you know, people didn't really look for particularly like his offense. That doesn't bode well for him. And then you look at what happened, James Jones's press conference getting pushed back a day, and now it's a press conference with James Jones and Matt Ishbia,
right,
the owner of the Suns. I think the writing is probably on the wall. And I'll tell you what, it's not just a Frank Vogel thing, too. Like, they have to change some stuff with this team, and one of the easiest things to change is the coach, particularly when we look at the salaries that are on this roster. So that's a factor here, too. But I think Frank Vogel, ultimately, it was the same problem with the Lakers. Is this all his fault? No, but I don't think he took a tough situation and made it better. We saw the same thing happen with the Lakers with Russell Westbrook, where he didn't take a bad situation and improve upon it. He just kind of kept the status quo. The best coaches can take bad situations, they can adapt to it, and they can improve upon it. They can create a team that's better than the sum of their parts. And that's where I think Vogel's come up short.
And here's the biggest issue for the Suns. You sort of already mentioned it. They're past that second apron, $209 million in committed salary because of those big three. And I would assume this front office sort of has to double down on what they have. They don't really have much of a choice. But if you're looking to improve this roster going into next year, how do you do it? Like truthfully, how do you do it? Because they clearly don't have money to spend. And then after this year, I believe this is the stat, they won't own their own first or second round pick till 2031. Obviously, they'll have some picks. They have pick swaps and everything else through the various deals they made. But, like, what's the way forward for them to improve this roster around those three guys?
Yeah, so they either have to go all in right now, and that would mean probably trying to trade the 22nd pick, using that to plus up one player. And keep in mind, since they're going to be above the second tier, they can't combine salaries. It's not like they can stack, say, Nasir Little and Yusuf Nurkic's salaries to go get somebody. They're not going to be able to do that. But you could add, I guess, that pick to a player and then try to go get something done to bring someone in. They get, obviously, if they think there's somebody there at 22 that could help them, they could use as much cost control salary as they can get. Otherwise, it's about talking some veterans who might be willing to play for the minimum to come play. You know, maybe if Chris Paul winds up getting waived by the Warriors, maybe go back to Chris Paul and say, hey, you want to come on back and do this again? It's that and continue on with what they've got. Or you make a really tough decision and you start listening to offers for Kevin Durant or Devin Booker. I can't see them moving Devin Booker. Bradley Beal has a no-trade clause, and I don't think most teams would want his $50 million salary either, because he's got 3 years remaining on the deal. But I don't see the Suns going down this path. But the one way out of this very tricky cap situation would be to move Durant or Booker, and I think teams would be interested. The danger is if you wait another year and this continues to be an issue, if they don't have success this next season, moving Durant could get pretty tricky the next off season when he's going to be 37 years old. So it's a gamble. I think they wind up sticking with this team, but that is the one possibility to maybe get their way out of it would be to trade Kevin Durant.
Do you chalk up the 1 year of the Bradley Beal experience as a failed experiment? At this point, I mean, I had 29 missed games. I know he wasn't healthy, but you still have $50.2 million next year you have to pay him, $53.5 million 2 years from now, $57.1 million 3 years from now. And last night, in a winner-go-home situation, 4 field goals made, 6 turnovers, 6 fouls, only 2 assists, I believe. I wonder if his health is – I mean, he's in his 30s. It doesn't feel like he's going to go up from here. This is usually where guys have their downturn. It feels like the Suns caught him at a really bad time in his career.
Yeah, and he's a guy that over the course of his career has dealt with injuries that, you know, that's been an issue for him. But I do think that at this point, especially when we factor in that no-trade clause, which still exists, he may very well be the worst contract in the NBA right now, given the amount of years and money that's left on this deal. Plus how burdensome the no-trade clause is. And you're right, he didn't give you enough. I think when you look at this year, what they were going for, essentially they've got they signed up for a 2, maybe 3-year window to go try to win the whole thing. And this first year is absolutely a failure. They got bounced in the first round with a team that's got Kevin Durant, that's got Devin Booker, that's got Bradley Beal. You went all in on this big three mindset. And then on top of that, you got the best three-point shooting season out of the entire NBA, out of Grayson Allen, the best three-point shooter in the NBA percentage-wise. Can you count on that happening again? Yusuf Nurkic, that wound up working out pretty well for them, and it still wasn't enough. So, again, they're in this really tough spot, and like I said, Bradley Beal, that did not work out for them. He produced just fine when he was on the floor in terms of the numbers. The playoffs, it didn't work out for him there, but if he continues to deal with injuries, there's still a lot of money owed on this contract, and they're going to find themselves really burdened and anchored down, I think, by this deal.
Now, I have seen reports about this, but what have you heard about Matt Ishbia and the experience with him as the Suns owner? It feels like he loves on them a little bit too much, and he is clearly too involved. And I don't know. I know he played basketball at Michigan State, but he's involved, and it's clear to me he's not good enough at this yet to be as involved as he is.
You know, I haven't heard anything specifically about him from behind the scenes or anything like that, but it's not a surprise, right? When you're a new owner in the NBA, and this is the shiny new toy, you're going to want to play with it, right? You're going to want to come in, and you're going to want to make your changes and do what you want to do, and it's kind of fun to say, hey, we're going for it. No, I'm on board now. We're going for it. We're going to swing for the fences. and I'm going to bring a title to Phoenix. Only problem is sometimes you can be a little bit overzealous, and it appears that's kind of what's happened here. And this is part of why I don't think ultimately they'll make the one move that would kind of get them out of this situation, and that would be trading Kevin Durant, because it would require Matt Ishbia just a year in to say, I was wrong. I don't think they're going to get to that point. I don't think they're willing to admit that just yet. I can't imagine that's the path they'll ultimately go down. But the problem is, if this does not work, as you mentioned before, in terms of their draft capital moving forward, this team could very much be stuck for the remainder of the decade with the way things are currently set up. And so this is going to be a big gamble for Matt Ishbia and the Suns if he wants to continue to stay that involved, if they don't learn the lesson here that if you go all in and you miss, you can be in big, big trouble. And I think the roster construction was just flawed. No point guard, no real power forward. And the combination of Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, who's going to play defense for you in that group, I think ultimately that really came back to haunt them.
Talking with Trevor Lane at Trevor_Lane. Now, on the other side of that whole thing, the Timberwolves did get a sweep, and they look damn good doing it. And I didn't really believe in them going into these playoffs, and we'll see what it looks like going into the next round. But I think they announced their intentions. They want to stay around these playoffs for a while. They really want to challenge the Nuggets for the Western Conference. Now, number five for the Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards. That was about as real of a young player. He's 22 years old. He announced his intentions to be the face of the league this series, and especially in that closeout game, blocking Devin Booker at the rim, dunking directly over Kevin Durant. I think early in the series, going after Kevin Durant, trash-talking, even though that's one of his favorite players of all time. Anthony Edwards is here to stay.
Yeah, absolutely. He is phenomenal. It's amazing watching his ascent. He has now staked claim to the best two-guard in the NBA. I would imagine he's going to be battling Devin Booker for the starting job with Team USA this summer. Based on how it's gone so far, he probably wins that. I think he is absolutely phenomenal. Wolves fans should be very, very excited about this team. I was really impressed with them. I was higher on them than most going into the season, and I'm kicking myself now for picking the Suns to win this series, because I should have just stuck with the Wolves and bought in on their defensive capabilities. I love the way they were mixing and matching their offensive and defensive possessions down the stretch. Mike Conley is a calming presence for them. And then when you've got a talent like Anthony Edwards, they can come up with those big clutch shots. When the other team's defense does everything to lock you down, does everything to blow up all your actions, you've got a guy in Anthony Edwards that can go and hit an impossible shot anyway. It's just such a luxury to have a player of that caliber. And his rise in the NBA is great, not only for the Wolves, but this is great for the league, because we need a guy like this. We need a guy that's going to rise, that's going to become that next face of the NBA. We need young players like him coming up. And in the Team USA sense, we need American young players that are coming up and going to be taking on that mantle. So incredible stuff from Anthony Edwards, and I can't wait to see what he can do next round.
All right, now holler at me. Lakers are on the road against the Nuggets. Nuggets 7-point favorites tonight, 9 p.m. on TNT. Can the Lakers force a game six, get back to the crypt?
It's going to be tough. I think they can. You look at the way this series has played out. The Lakers have been leading at halftime every game. The Suns or the Nuggets then come back, and the third quarter has been really what tells you what's going to happen there, because the Nuggets always come back in that quarter. They beat the Lakers pretty badly there, and so I think the Lakers can get it done. We saw the formula last game. It was a matter of keeping the Nuggets off the offensive glass, or at least keeping the offensive rebound battle close. It was a matter of not allowing the Nuggets to run away with things in the third. Conversely, the Nuggets are going to say, you got to stay close to the Lakers in the first half. Don't spot them so many points in the early going. I think this has been a closer series than 3-1 suggests.
Yep. But just like the sweep last year in the Western Conference Finals.
Right?
Right.
I mean, it's amazing. It's just that the Nuggets just execute better down the stretch, and that's what has separated them. They've been pretty close through most of the game, and then when it's crunch time, the Nuggets have just out-executed the Lakers. And so I think ultimately that will probably win the day, even coming from a Lakers perspective. That's probably what is going to get the Nuggets through. I expect them to be fired up in front of their home crowd in this game. But I'll tell you this, if the Lakers can pull this off and get a win tonight, this becomes really interesting going back to game six in L.A.
Yeah, now I am curious, and I think I know the answer to this. Is there anything that can save Darvin Ham and his job? Is there anything?
a title.
Right. Yeah.
That's probably it. He's definitely on the hot seat.
Yeah, and he's been on the hot seat for a while. I mean, how surprised are you that it's taken this long, that he's still the coach of the Lakers right now?
Given that he's got two more years still under contract, I get it. And who are you going to get to come in midseason to take over the team? But it's pretty clear that there's some issues there. The players haven't been particularly happy with that. We've heard about it over the course of the season. LeBron's disdain was on full display when Darvin didn't challenge on that out of bounds call in game four. So I would have to imagine it is going to be a big topic of discussion for the Lakers this summer. What are they going to do there? And with LeBron, that player option ahead too, I have a feeling he'll have something to say about that as well. And then I would assume that by the time they really have to make a decision, they're probably looking for a new head coach. Like I said, if they go on some improbable run here, if they become the first team ever to come back from down 3-0, maybe it's a different story. But I do think they're going to wind up looking elsewhere at the head coach spot.
Mm-hmm. Now, another tricky situation with a head coach, and I don't give the Bucks any chance against the Pacers. Being down 3-1, Giannis just started running. It looks like Dame with the Achilles sprain is doing underwater running. So it doesn't seem very likely that they're going to play for the rest of the series, and we'll see. And it doesn't seem like they have any chance without at least Dame out there. What do we say about Doc Rivers? I know this is a really tricky one because, you know, they got rid of Adrian Griffin when he was 31-13, moved on to Doc. It's been trending down since then. I don't think that, you know, firing Adrian Griffin midseason to go to Doc makes it any easier to get rid of Doc. But if they bow out this early, is Doc going to be the coach next year?
I think he is. I mean, it seemed like they committed to him. As I recall, off the top of my head, I want to say they gave him 3 years on the deal. So I think they stick with him, and I think that had Giannis and Dame been healthy and they were getting beat like this, maybe it's a different conversation, but they can fall back on, well, unfortunately, our guys were not healthy. Our two top guys, Dame and Giannis, were not healthy for this series. It's hard to evaluate the team in a playoff situation when you don't have your two top guys. Take the two top guys off of any team, and that is going to change their fortunes drastically. So I think because of these injuries, that means that Doc Rivers will be back next year, because you can't get rid of a coach when you can say the injuries were beyond his control and that was just bad luck. And I think that will be cause for them, in addition to the money you've already committed into the future, where you don't want to pay a guy to not coach for you. I think that's going to cause them to go ahead and stick with Doc Rivers and then see how things look next season, and they'll keep their fingers crossed for better luck on the injury front.
I know that they can say that, right? They can say, oh, these guys were hurt. But if I'm evaluating this team since Doc Rivers took over, just in general, they've been trending down on especially offensively. They trended up a little bit defensively, but not enough, not big of as big a difference as it should have been for them to actually win ball games. But Dame is aging. Chris Middleton's aging. He can barely, I mean, he turned back the clock for a couple of games in this series, but I don't know how it's going to look for him going forward. They're just clearly not the same team that they were a year ago with Drew Holiday and all these guys a year younger. If I'm evaluating this team, that's what I see, and I don't know if it's going to get that much better going forward, regardless of who the coach is.
I agree. I think they're in a little bit of a tough spot here, given the age of their guys. Chris Middleton's not the Chris Middleton of a few years ago. Brooke Lopez is getting older. That's going to be a difficult thing for them to sort through. They've got to bring in some young players that can help bring them to another level. You could argue that Bobby Portis has probably been their third best player this season, and then he got himself ejected from last night's game against the Pacers in the early going. So I do think that will ultimately keep this group together, but you're right. They're in a very difficult situation. It's not like Doc Rivers came in and everything looked so much better immediately, but if there's an excuse to not spend money that an ownership group has, they're usually going to fall on that. And when push comes to shove and it comes down to, do you want to pay, I believe it would be three head coaches now to not coach for you and then go get somebody else, I think they'll hold off on doing that.
All right. Now, I will give the Thunder all the credit in the world. They're up 3-0, and they've looked really good. They've looked dominant doing it. Now, I just want to throw this. I said this on Friday. I'm going to throw it your direction. The Pelicans, without Zion Williamson, are the most unserious playoff basketball team I've seen in my lifetime. Am I going overboard with that, or do you think I'm dead on?
I mean, we've seen some teams fall backwards into the playoffs, especially when you look at the East and before the play-in and all that kind of stuff. But you're right. I mean, the Pelicans, with no Zion, with a Brandon Ingram that's coming back from injury, it's hard for them to be much of a threat here. So, on one hand, you give OKC credit, right? I mean, they can't control who their opponent is. They're playing the team in front of them, and they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're beating them. But yeah, it's not like they're taken out. It's not like it's Denver against OKC in round one, and OKC's mopping the floor with them. That's certainly not the case here. OKC has definitely looked good. Mark Daigneault is I believe the deserving coach of the year. I think they are a good, very quality team. But this is certainly not the test that makes you completely buy in and say, that's it. This team is not too young. They are a title contender right now. This team's going to go all the way. I don't think we can jump to that conclusion from this series.
But I'll say this. I want to see that team, and they do that. They have fun, right? Because they don't know any better. I mean, they're 23 years old. They're the youngest one seed of all time in the NBA playoffs. I want to see them in the next series against the Clippers or the Mavs. I want to see what they look like when they face some adversity, get punched in the mouth a little bit. Then I think we'll have more of an understanding of what this team can be going into the future. I expect them to be in this position for the next 3 to 4 to 5 years, but this series is not showing me much about their what's inside them, what they can be going forward.
No, as you said, we haven't seen them get punched yet. We don't know how they're going to respond to that situation. We don't know how they're going to respond to tense moments down the stretch in playoff games. Now, we did see a closer game the other night between the Thunder and the Pels, and SGA made a big shot late in order to win it. But this is not the test that reveals the true character of the Thunder. That I think that is coming next round, though, and we're going to get a better sense of what they are. And it could be, because what we've seen happen historically is teams that are young like this, they take their lumps for a year, 2 years, whatever, in the playoffs, and then they learn. And they learn from their mistakes, and they figure out, because playoff basketball is a different animal, they figure out what it takes to get over the hump. Will that team have that kind of trajectory, this kind of a learning curve for the Thunder, or are they able to skip that step and just find a way to be great right here, right now? Now, to your overall point, though, that this team's going to be good for 3, 4, 5 years, yeah, look, they've got a ton of cap space this summer to play with, too. In addition to that, they've got all the draft picks, right? So they've got this ridiculous war chest of draft picks. So if somebody becomes available on the market, they can add to this group. I think they're going to be a big problem in the West for years to come here. The question is, are they there this year? And this series is not giving us the answer to that. But I think we will find out next round against a more veteran side, whether it's the Clippers or the Mavs.
Now, speaking of that Clippers-Mavs series, that's a really fun one. I knew it was going to be phenomenal coming into it, just because these teams have been there, done that. And you were dealing with, the Kawhi injury and seeing what that was going to look like. But this has been phenomenal. Both teams have won on the road. We're at 2-2. It's transitioning back to L.A. This is going to be a fun one to watch down the stretch, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And these, the shot making in the first quarter by the Clippers was absolutely absurd. The threes, I want to say they were like 8 for 11 in the first quarter from three. It was crazy that what they were able to pull off without Kawhi. I think their offense actually looks a little bit more fluid without Kawhi. I won't say they're a better team without Kawhi, but their offense does look like it is a little bit less bogged down when he's not out there on the floor. And then Harden can do his thing. Paul George can do his thing. They're not taking turns so much. Okay, Kawhi, now you go. All right, Harden, you go. That type of situation. So, the only thing I can ask for, the disappointment in this series is we know Luka is a little bit hobbled and Kawhi is a bit hobbled.
Yep.
Get healthy. Get healthy by game seven. Hopefully we get a game seven in this series, because that would be a lot of fun to see these two teams continue to go back and forth like that. But I want to see both sides at their best, and we know that neither one is quite that right now.
Now, I know that you said they're not a better team without Kawhi, even though they are 2-0 in the series without Kawhi. Yeah. But I will say this. I'll go out on a limb and say they are a better team without Game 2 Kawhi. Game 2 Kawhi, that was tough to watch. 0-for-5 from 3. He just looked uncomfortable the entire game, even though he played extended minutes, played 34 minutes.
Yes. Yeah, the injured Kawhi that isn't quite himself – yes, that's 100%. That he is a bit more of a liability at that point. And that's, of course, a big problem. They are, I think, better without Kawhi trying to be out there when he can. I think that's why they're making the choice here to shut him down until he's healthy, because they recognize that they can't have whatever percentage of Kawhi he actually is out there on the floor, 70%, 65%. whatever that is, that's actually going to be a hindrance to the team. So they're making the difficult choice, but I think right choice, that they're going to keep him out until he can really be out there and be himself. And fingers crossed. I mean, this is a guy who's dealt with injuries throughout his career, dealt with so much. You hope that sooner rather than later he can get out there, be healthy, and get back to being the player that, I mean, at one point was certainly one of the best in the NBA, led the Toronto Raptors to a title. He is phenomenal when he's at his best, and so hopefully he can get back to that.
Yeah, and a quick sidebar, James Harden, he is, I mean, as much as there were doubts about him going to the Clippers, who's going to be on ball between him and Paul George, will he be a hindrance to what they do on the offensive end, how will it all fit, will he be happy, because he's not a guy who seems to stay happy for all that long. As much as we had all those questions, James Harden has been a great addition for that team. They've been very good with him.
Yeah, and the big thing is that moved Russell Westbrook to the bench. I think that was the correct decision for them. It's put James Harden more of that point guard role. And then his ability to get into the paint and then hit that floater. He was fantastic with that last game, and it's a real weapon for him. And when he can have a playoff performance like this, 33 points, 4 of 5 from 3, 12 of 17 shooting overall, that's going to help carry you to a win, and that's exactly what he did in this one. Now, he also has a history of some playoff disappearances,
sure.
So we'll see what he looks like next game, but he was excellent in this one, and it was certainly a turn-back-the-clock performance from him. Paul George as well was fantastic, so those two guys really powered things for the Clippers, and you know he's been a really solid addition for them, both in terms of as a scorer, but also as a primary ball handler for that Clippers offense.
Now, final thing for Trevor Lane, host of Lakers Nation and the Front Office Show with Keith Smith. He's on X at Trevor_Lane. In the Eastern Conference, I mean, there was a couple of thoughts about, okay, who could really test the Celtics, and we'll see what the rest of the series looks like with the Heat. But it was 76ers, Heat, Knicks. Is the only team left that you think can really give them a run for their money, is it the Knicks?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's the Knicks. You know, the Bucks would have been my pick preseason, but they've fallen apart. I don't think the Pacers are ready for that, although I do enjoy the Pacers. But I'll tell you what, I love the Knicks.
Yes.
I love this Knicks team. This team is so fun to watch. They're not going to be super high scoring, and I think that's going to be ultimately their undoing. I think they're going to hit a point where scoring is going to be such a burden for them. It's going to be so difficult that they're not going to be able to keep pace with some of these better teams. But they are such a pain to keep off the glass. Their tenacity going after offensive rebounds, they just crush teams there. The hustle all over the floor from all of their guys. Tom Thibodeau plays everybody, you know, somehow plays them 52 minutes in a 48-minute game because nobody gets any rest, but they find a way to get it done. This is, you know, aside from my Lakers, the Knicks are my favorite team just to tune in and watch a game right now, because the way they approach things, it's like that they embody playoff basketball, and I hope they stick around for a while here in the East.
And it does sort of feel like, you say 52 minutes in a 48-minute game. He's got the perfect superstar, the perfect point guard for him to be able to do that. Jalen Brunson will stay out there, give you whatever you need, whenever you need it.
Absolutely. He's been phenomenal. I mean, 47 points in last night's game. He's been absolutely incredible. This is a guy that there were a lot of question marks when the Knicks first signed him. Is that contract going to be good or not? And boy, has he silenced all those critics. He has been, I mean, now he's probably one of the best bargains in the NBA at the money that he's on. And he is, oh man, he is absolutely phenomenal. And what much needed for the Knicks fan base to get a team like this. I just wish Julius Randle was healthy so that he could kind of bump their ceiling up a little bit. But this team, they've got the best shot of anybody, I think.
We'll see.
Upset the Celtics.
Yeah, even though I don't know how much of a shot it is. I we'll see.
Agreed.
We'll see what it looks like. But, Trevor, I appreciate it, man. We'll do this again soon.
Sounds great. Thank you, Gabe.
Yes, sir. That is Trevor Lane at Trevor_Lane on X. He is from the Lakers Nation. He's a host there. And he is a host of the Front Office Show with our other guy, Keith Smith. And they do a phenomenal job. You can find that on YouTube. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.